Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews. Welcome back to Thinking It Through. We continue with a relevant study of the book of Daniel as apocalyptic literature, the kind of literary genre that surfaces when the people of God, the faith community, face trials and tribulation at the hands of secular kingdoms and forces. It is a revelation of the ultimate triumph of God's kingdom over all the kingdoms of men. In spite of the fiercest of world empires, they will all be subdued by the awesome power of God's reign over the hearts of men. Here's Dr. Gregory Tenation, resident minister at Chevronati Mission, in part 12 of Facing the Furnace.
Hi folks, welcome again to another discussion on the book of Daniel. I'm so looking forward to it and enjoying our little fireside chat as we delve into God's word, because it blesses us. It blesses us richly. Now today we're going to look at the scope of Daniel's revelation. What I mean by that is, obviously it was relevant for Daniel in the time in which he was living, but it's the nature of apocalyptic literature, especially prophetic apocalyptic literature, to have relevance for a future time and maybe multiple relevances for the future as well, until the coming of Christ. Think of it as a mountain range. You have the mountains that are immediately before you, there are mountains behind them, and behind those mountains there are other mountains, until you have the last range of mountains on the horizon. So the mountains on the horizon are very far away. We would compare that to the second coming of the Lord Jesus, which might still be very far away, or it might be just around the corner. So if you go back in time, you'll see more than 2,500 years have actually gone by where the book of Daniel was applicable and relevant for the time in which he was living. Second importance and the second relevance was when the Lord Jesus came. You know, for example, that they wanted to establish the kingdom of God as a physical kingdom, with the Lord Jesus as a physical king sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. I mean, they concluded that because of what they had seen also in the book of Daniel. That was their expectation. Because you are dealing with physical kingdoms, the Babylonian kingdom, eventually the Greek kingdom, and then the Roman kingdom, and so on. So now it was going to be the Hebrew or the Jewish kingdom. And they thought of it as being something that was physical. They didn't realize the Lord Jesus was going to come and establish the kingdom of God, which was a reign over the hearts and minds of people. So the book of Daniel had present relevance for them at that time. Then it also had future relevance, and it had a follow-on relevance as far as the future was concerned, and then ultimately the very far future when the Lord Jesus comes back again. And that unfolds for us in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. I see those who had done the King James translation had put up a little subheading, of course, which is not inspired. That was just a helpful hint. It's called the end times. And we read, now that's the mountains very far away on the horizon. The verse says in verse 1, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, that's Israel, he will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. So he starts off by saying, at that time. We're now talking about the far future relevance from Daniel's perspective, from the time in which he was writing this book. At that time. And then he says again in verse 12, at that time. And we need to ask now, what is he referring to? He says, at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. When he says your people, he's obviously referring to Israel, or in that case now, it was referring to the southern tribes, Judah, the southern kingdom, the Jewish people. But because he says whose name is found written in the book, it's using terminology that we are most familiar with from the New Testament, especially the book of Revelation, that says whosoever name was not found written in the book of life, they were thrown into the lake of fire. So it speaks of eternal judgment. He goes on, he says in verse 2, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. It speaks of a resurrection. The resurrection in the final day. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. So it's the separation of the sheep and the goats. It's those who go to heaven and those who end up in hell. That's what he's referring to on the last day of judgment. So you can see how far-reaching the book of Daniel goes right to the very end of time. This is the scope from the day in which he lived, roughly about 500 years, 600 years before Christ, all the way until the second coming when Jesus comes back again. He says in verse 3, and this is the purpose of the book, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the sun, or the brightness of the heavens. That's the idea, on the full blossoming noonday. Those who are wise, it can be paraphrased in this way, those who have the ability to instruct others, the teachers, the men of God who have knowledge and understanding, they will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Now, stars shine the brightest in the darkest of nights, and that's what its significance is, that even though you may be enveloped and surrounded by pagan heathendom, that's the opportunity to rise to the occasion and shine brighter than ever before. What a powerful message that is. And then he says in verse 4, but you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. The idea is that at this particular time, in the very far future relevance, there would be an escalation and an increase of knowledge like it has never been there before. It does say something to us, doesn't it? Because if we look at the internet, social media, the dissemination of information, there has never been a time like we are experiencing now in our day. So it encourages us, it fills us with hope that maybe one of these days he'll be on the clouds. Maybe it's very soon. Maybe we'll see the actual ultimate fulfillment of this book in our day. Would be to God that that be true. So what we have seen here is that the scope of Daniel's revelation covers the period from the time he received this information right up until the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, in this book, there are seven levels of active engagement. This is God dealing with his people. The first level is transgression. And we get that clear message that because they disobeyed and disregarded what the prophets had to say, there were certain consequences to that. Even Galatians chapter 6, we read, it says there in verse 7, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. A man will reap exactly what he has sown. So the people of God found themselves exiled into this foreign land because for years and years and years they disobeyed the prophets. They wouldn't listen to the timely message that came. They hardened their hearts. They were therefore guilty of transgression. The next level of active engagement is retribution. The consequences. What happens now? You are taken into exile. You are literally now, in a certain sense, spiritually a prisoner. And then The next level of active engagement is conviction and remorse. You get the same kind of thing when they returned from exile and Nehemiah had set his heart to rebuild Jerusalem. And when all of this was completed, they gathered together, they found the book of the law. It was read, and they wept. There was great grief and repentance that followed as a result of that. They confessed their sins. They confessed their own as well as their ancestors' sins, their forefathers. They really, really repented of what happened. And then the outcome of that is redemption, that people are saved and restored. The temple was rebuilt. Jerusalem was restored. The gates were put back in place. The walls were erected again. So the message is a message of renewal. The message is a message of God interacting, God stepping in and taking these people who have been devastated. They've been punished, now they suffered because of their sin, and he restores them. All of this is then by way of revelation that it's actually communicated to them. When you look at the structure of this book, you will see that there's reference to the 70 sevens or the 70 weeks of the book of Daniel. We read that it says 70 sevens were decreed. That means now 70 sevens are given so that transgression will come to an end. Sin will be stopped. There will be atonement for wickedness. It will bring in everlasting righteousness. Prophecy and vision will be sealed up. And ultimately, it comes out on the anointing of the Most Holy. And interestingly enough, the Greek word Christos, Christ, means the Anointed One. So he is indeed the Anointed One. So the 77 weeks are there, which lead up to the coming of the Kingdom of God and his King, the Lord Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, the 70 weeks are expounded on, and it consists of seven sevens and 62 sevens. You have the 62 weeks that are spelt out, and you have the 7 weeks that are spelt out. Altogether, that makes 69 weeks. That means it leaves 1 week open. So it's a period, followed by another period, and then followed by a final conclusion. You get exactly the same structure in the book of Revelation. So 69 sevens are decreed. From the issue of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah comes, the Anointed One, it's 69 sevens. So when he comes, it's the 70th seven, meaning the Sabbath year, the conclusion and consummation of everything. So everything pointed to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Folks, that's as much as we will be able to cover this time. I trust that you will process this, ponder it, and look it up and see and ask your questions, because you are free to send us your questions. Goodbye and God bless.
That was Dr. Gregory Deneshin in part 12 of Facing the Furnace, a relevant study of the Book of Daniel as apocalyptic literature. You can download the PowerPoint presentation for the series and listen to the podcast of Thinking It Through by installing the GNCR 93.6 FM app from the Play Store. Email any questions on the Book of Daniel you would like Dr. Deneshin to address next week to the email address at the end of the program. Stay tuned for part 13 tomorrow. If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.